This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Charles Robinson's going to join us here in about 20 minutes. Yahoo Sports NFL writer, All Juice team is out, so we're going to talk to him about that. Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. So J.W. Johnson just joined us. We had a chance to talk to him about a number of things, including the new helmet. And I'm into this kind of stuff. Like, I think about it every once in a while. But, again, like I was just saying to Jeff, that it's not something that drives me to watch a football game. It's not something that makes me think about what's going on while the game is going on. As long as it's not distracting, that's all I care about. So the Browns are going to go back to the original face mask that they were using. They're going to have a little bit of a different look as far as the finish on the helmets. And, yeah, I think the orange helmet is what defines your football team. And I do think the Browns find themselves I thought it was really interesting that JW kind of had a little bit of regret over that. Regret if that's the right word or not. But when they talked about when they did the jersey change and they came back to the jerseys.
With the Cleveland above the number.
Yeah, you know, they tried something, so what?
I didn't mind those. I'll be honest, I didn't mind them at all.
If you win, you don't care. No one cares what you look like. And how many times have we seen teams change jerseys then suddenly win? Think about the Broncos, right? Broncos had those jerseys, never won a Super Bowl, boom, changed jerseys. Seattle, same thing. Seattle changed their look.
The Broncos change was harsh. And they even changed the color.
But what happened? They were winning with those new uniforms. So
yeah, but, would have won with the same team in the old uniforms.
It is what it is, right?
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I mean, what else did you get out of the JW conversation?
I thought the uniform stuff was all right. We got the lowdown. The third helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're thinking about something. Just by what he said, I was going to ask him about it, and then he brought it up, and so that'll be fun. The investment at quarterback that didn't just happen. You know what I mean, Andy? I mean that. I think that's a real significant thing, and I wonder if part of it. Well, I would assume it has to be some uncertainty about Deshaun Watson's injury situation and the recovery from surgery. I would think it has to be. And at the very least, you have commodities at the most important position in football.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, if they would have gone into this season the way they did last season, we'd all be looking at us going, are they ready for this? I hope he's healthy. We would really, I would seriously be 10 times more worried than I am right now if they hadn't gone out and had, like, they truly look like they had a game plan and do have a game plan at the backup quarterback spot. And
there's no question about that.
Especially compared to last year.
Yeah.
Like they rolled the dice on DTR last year. They really did. They rolled the dice because they made a trade right before. And you're like, okay, I hope they know what they're doing. And the fans love DTR during the preseason.
Well, he looked great. He looked great.
The part that I was kind of laughing about while we were talking to JW is that, you know, when it comes to helmets and it comes to jerseys and it comes to the look and the fashion and golf shirts you're going to buy or stickers you're going to put on the back of your car, that is the stuff that fans should be involved in. Not plays and who's on the field and what players they're getting.
And if it says Cleveland Browns on it, it doesn't really matter what it's going to look like. It's going to sell. And fans are going to love it. And if they win, they win. It's just, I just think there's so many intriguing things that we're not holding our breath over. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
It's this. I asked JW about, okay, here you sit. You don't have a first-round pick, but you don't actually have a roster that needs reloaded in the draft. Okay, you took care of that one already. You've got an injured quarterback coming back from surgery. But wait a minute, you've already brought in two quarterbacks. You have a head coach whose contract, oh, wait a minute, you've already said you're going to extend him. Oh, wait a minute, you have a general manager, oh, wait a minute, you're already going to extend him too. Okay? Would be nice if you got the coach an extra, you know, extra set of, oh, wait a minute, you brought in Mike Vrabel. I mean, almost everything going on with this team has already been taking, I mean, they're ready to go. They could go and start training camp now, and I would think be in really pretty good shape. And I think Andrew Berry's done a really nice job of putting that all together. And now we'll see. It doesn't guarantee success, but it certainly guarantees that you're pretty good to go.
What'd you think of the answer on the dome? I don't know. He couldn't have said anything else. Like, I was trying to think of, like, okay, are you gonna grill him on something that we all kind of know where it is? And he established the fact that things that we know, and things that we don't know, you know, we don't know. I look at it and I'm just like, okay, you know, that they clearly are looking for an alternative. He didn't walk away from making the investment into the Lakefront Stadium. So the options are what they were before we started the phone call. They're exactly the same. It's not. I don't know. I wasn't expecting anything earth-shattering, yeah. And we didn't get anything earth-shattering.
Well, I think the stadium talk is interesting. We've been having it, you and me, for over a decade. And I think people know what we think about the stadium on the lakefront. I think it would be a bad move to sink $1 billion into that place. That thought's not changed at all. That said, I also think it's a reality, but I think it's a bad idea to have municipalities sink huge dollars into facilities that don't get used very often.
I agree.
I think it's ridiculous. However, you want to have an NFL team? Because that's kind of the way it works, Andy, and I don't like that system, but that's kind of the way it works. I wouldn't mind, you know, privately owned facilities. You can make that work.
Oh, they work. They work. Ticket prices are higher. Beer prices are higher. But eventually you sit here and you're like, well, those ticket prices are going to end up there anyway.
Worked here for a long time. The Coliseum, people didn't like where it was. People seemed to love the building, you know.
Oh, I love that building.
And I if the Haslams are going to build a dome in Brook Park and there's a development all around it, there's a huge opportunity for them to make money here.
Right.
They're business people. That's right. What business people do. And that's not a bad thing, to make money. But I would, if it's going to be privately owned, okay, great. I can't imagine it's going to be privately owned. But there has to be a give and take. And
I mean, I can understand some tax incentives that you would give to any other business,
question.
Right?
Sure.
Like, I get that. Like, if you were trying to keep a major corporation from leaving Northeast Ohio or Cleveland in particular, and you give them tax breaks, why wouldn't you give tax breaks to, you know, something that is more for the general public than it was? I don't
and
have
is
any problem
a huge
that.
Part of the image of your city.
Yeah, and so, but I also think that you're 100% right. I had a really long conversation with somebody who I believe is in the know on a lot of this stuff. I'm having a lot of trouble after this conversation swallowing that it's only going to cost $2 billion to build a stadium. That it's going to be
a dome,
or stadium in general. That it's going to cost more. The more you wait every day, the more the price tag on this stuff goes up.
Well, and you're not going to do it halfway.
What well,
if you're going?
We
to
know
build,
what halfway looks like. We go there every Sunday during the football season. That's halfway, Jeff. That stadium was done halfway, and the people that build it will tell you that.
Well, when Al Lerner had to say, wait a minute, you didn't put escalators in? All right, I'll take care of that. That tells you all you need to know, right?
Yeah.
You opened the drawer, you pulled out the plans, you build it because we need it. We needed it. We needed it fast.
Right.
So I understand that. There's just no way I'm sinking $1 billion into it.
Into that stadium, I'm not sinking $1 billion into that thing either.
And Andy, if the city does, well, that's just a bad decision by the city to go along with that financially, I think. You know, we've heard about lakefront development. What's getting in the way of lakefront development? A great big old stadium that's sitting there that we use 12 times a year.
And a runway next to it. That doesn't really help either.
Well, no, but I don't know enough about the runway, but that's neither here nor there.
The more I start thinking about it, the more, and I've had plenty of time to think, especially over the last 2 weeks about this stuff. It's just,
while you were sitting poolside.
No, yeah, sitting on an airplane.
Eating great pizza.
The best case scenario for this whole thing would be a plot of land in the city of Cleveland limits. It doesn't have to be on the lakefront.
No problem with that.
I mean, there's got to be land in the city limits that they could do this. Remember, I talked once about Highland Golf Course. If that was an option, you know, that's all city.
You're going to destroy another golf course. I'm tired of you destroying my golf courses.
Well, if it's not me, it's going to be the Gophers. Well, I'm just saying, if you could really come up with a, let's try to make everybody happy on this thing, try to find another piece of land possible in the city of Cleveland. I understand that now that we're looking at two different things, and I understand that. I get it. At one point, Randall Park Mall, when the mall was at its lowest and there was nothing out there, I thought would have been the perfect place to put a dome. But that's another story for another day. And you were also looking at multiple municipalities out there that kind of share that area out there. So,
do you think, you know, that catty corner spot where it's parking across from the ballpark, you know, kind of going down toward the mills and all that stuff?
Right.
Doesn't that still seem like an extremely viable spot other than that it's parking like crazy?
Well, yeah, there's a ton of parking. But who knows? We could end up, I mean, Dan and I have talked about that. We could still end up with a soccer-specific stadium over there, which sounds
for,
like
for
that's...
For what soccer team?
For an incoming soccer team.
Okay.
It's interesting because like
but
that...
Again, there goes another facility that you're only using...
Who's paying for it, though? Who knows who's paying for it? And like, well, okay. You know, I look at that the private facility they put up in Columbus to build what is now Historic Crew Stadium.
I love that.
That they bought...
Historic Crew Stadium.
Because the history goes all the way back
to
the 90s.
Which, newer than... Newer than a lot of
Well,
things.
They built that back in the 1990s. We barely had internet or cell phone back then. Had to walk and carry around a pocket full
of
quarters to make
that were gas.
We had to make phone calls with nickels and dimes, and we didn't have these fancy schmancy cell phones. But I look at that, and you see how they built that. Now, was that state of the art? No, it was a glorified high school stadium, but they did a really nice job with it. So I don't know. I look at that, and I try to figure that out. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, NFL writer, All Juice Team. It's out. It's out. We're going to be talking about it next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's bring in Charles Robinson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Charles. How are you?
Hello, Charles.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing good. A little gloomy around Northeast Ohio today, though. We need a little more sun. Can you send us some sun?
Yeah, I heard it's the typical April kind of depression period.
It's our version of San Diego's June gloom today. How's that sound? But at least it's warm.
It's my favorite. You know, we have all of our corporate offices are out in L.A., or most of them are, and they're all, you know, they complain when it rains 3 days in a row. I'm like, how about not seeing the sun for like 4 months? Well, overcast for 4 months. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, we'll give a little Cleveland weather on that. All right, before we get into anything else, too, I want to talk to you about, you know, this great thing that you guys do to keep a tradition alive with the All Juice Team. Just explain to everybody what that is, and I know Ohio State fans will be excited about it this year, too.
Yeah, so Trez Paylor obviously passed a few years back, who was my podcasting partner, one of the national writers for us on the NFL beat. He actually started something called the All Juice Team back in 2015 when he was with the Kansas City Star. And it was, you know, a lot of fans really latched onto it. He spent a lot of time breaking down film. You know, I was talking to his fiance over the years about, the guy had like spreadsheets. He would literally work on this thing for 1 year solid by the time he would name it. And it was just something where it was players that he thought were the embodiment of like football players, not just skill, but attitude, performance, like really put everything together on the field. But it was interesting because the way he built the team was so unique. He didn't just pick an all-star team. He picked it as if he were drafting 23 players. And so he would, you know, draft a few guys in the first round, he'd draft a few guys in the second round, third. And so basically he tried to build this team with players that embodied what he thought were, you know, the special skills of football players from rounds 1 to 7. And, you know, when he passed away, we decided to continue the team. We've done it now 4 years in a row. I've been on all 4 years, but when we first did, it was like Pete Thamel and Eric Edholm and I worked on it. Last 2 years, it's been Charles McDonald and I have worked on it. It's funny though, because when you do it, it's really a two-man operation. It takes a lot of time to do this team, and we do it completely differently. Like, I lean on a lot of executives, coaches to throw me names, kind of, you know, tell me, hey, here's who should really be on that team. Whereas Charles McDonald does a lot of the film work, and I don't know how Trez was doing it by himself, because the two of us doing it, I mean, I'll be on the phone, you know, like a week solid with no other work on my plate, just trying to like scratch together names and help put the team together. So we really enjoyed it. And, you know, fans really seem to enjoy it. It's kind of a tentpole thing for us every single year. And we also, BreakingTea.com sells an all juice t-shirt and hoodie. And then the proceeds from that go to support the scholarship in Therese's name at Howard University. So if anybody's interested in that, just check out BreakingTea.com/Therese.
Tell me that when you were putting it together, the brainstorm hit you, this guy would be perfect for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, well, you know, there's definitely a guy on the team that I think, actually there's a couple that landed on the team this year that I think would be ideal for the Browns. And I think one of them is Ladd McConkey. I think if Ladd McConkey, I mean, the odds of Ladd McConkey getting to that second round pick, the 54th overall, it feels slim, just because so many people that I've talked to across the NFL really love his game. And, you know, I had a couple of guys basically say, look, if Brock Bowers didn't exist in that Georgia offense, Ladd McConkey's numbers would have been ballistic. And they just love the way he, you know, sets up his routes, the way just every fashion that he plays, and the part of the offense he was asked to really handle for Georgia, which is a lot of the downfield stuff, a lot of very NFL translatable routes. They just loved him. And to me, I know, you look, the Browns need, especially given what's coming with Amari Cooper, the decision that's got to be made there, Elijah Moore, they're going to have obviously a need at wide receiver. And I think if they could figure out a way to get him, I think he's a perfect Cleveland Browns addition. And I think when you get a little later in the draft, the running back out of USC, Marshawn Lloyd, was our running back. He's got fumbling issues, but when you look at him on tape, his game translates so well to the NFL level. And, you know, he's probably a guy that will end up going maybe third, fourth round, like somewhere in the middle rounds there. Not a great running back class, but I do think he's like a middle round guy who can be very, very productive and could come in and, I think, you know, be a depth player for the Browns next season, and then, you know, potentially take a larger role depending on what happens with Nick Chubb moving forward.
I wanted to ask you this just because I know this is a little offbeat in what we've been talking here, but Bill Belichick not being a head coach, Mike Vrabel ending up with the Browns as an advisor. I'm curious your thoughts on both of those guys and where their stories are going next.
Well, they'll be, I mean, I don't, we'll see what happens with Bill. I know the presumption is that Bill will end up back in the NFL, you know, next season, but I don't know. I mean, he's just, it's such a very, very specific kind of coach you'd have to look for with Bill Belichick. I don't think, you know, Bill obviously being in his 70s, there's not this idea of like, bring Bill in, he'll coach for the next decade. Or, right. You know, it's really kind of a situation where I think you have to have the team built and ready to go, and he can come in. And by the way, you also have to have a certain set of players that are very translatable to what he wants. And so it makes it dicey. And then now you see, obviously there's a report that comes out today that, you know, when the Falcons were deliberating on adding Bill Belichick, that they're allegedly was a conversation between Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft, and there were the question of trust, you know, allegedly got brought up in that, you know, sort of pursuit by the Falcons. I can tell you from talking to people in Atlanta right around the time when they decided to not go with Bill, even though I think Bill was representing like, hey, I don't have to have full control personnel. Like, it doesn't have to be the way the setup was in New England. I can tell you there are people in that building, especially when it came time to have the important conversations about potentially hiring him, that did not believe him. They were like, okay, he can say whatever he wants, but the track record's the track record. And, you know, his functionality in New England, especially at its peak, was, you know, him having his hand in everything in the team. So how well can he do if he even were to come in and not have his hand everywhere in the building? What would that mean in terms of the performance? Would that affect his ability to be successful? So, you know, I question, I just think Bill's a more difficult hire than people want to make it out to be. And I'm not saying he's not a great coach. He is. I just think it takes a very specific owner. It's going to take a very specific roster at a certain state of its maturation for him to be viable. Vrabel's different. Like, Vrabel to me is obviously a much longer runway ahead of Mike Vrabel. I mean, he's a guy that I think has got maybe another 20 years in him as a coach in the NFL. And I know Vrabel was – I want to be careful how I put this. Like, he had a really hard time not being in the NFL this year. Like, I think he really, really wanted to get right back in. He did not want to take the year off, and does not surprise me at all. He's taking an advisor role. You know, I in my mind, I wonder if he would have even, if someone would have offered him, if it's a really high level team, like even a defensive coordinator role, which I think if people around Mike would have been like, do not do that. Like, you are not going back in as a coordinator. You're a head coach. Sit out a year. But, you know, Vrabel, I think, he's similar to Bill. I think he's more flexible in terms of working with a front office if it's someone that he knows and trusts. And, you know, his players, even though I think there are times where I think he's kind of a gruff personality, when you would go into Tennessee and you would talk to his players, they all loved him. I mean, pretty much all of them loved him. And he had very high expectations. He'd be very hard on guys, you know, quarterbacks, especially like Ryan Tannehill. I mean, as much as he liked Ryan Tannehill, I mean, it was very up and down relationship at times. But I think they were all fairly devastated when he went out the door because they really believed in him as a head coach. And, you know, I think there were just some personnel failures. I think the John Robinson era came back to haunt him a little bit. And obviously his relationship with ownership, I think, they wanted a more collaborative, you know, effort in terms of the front office and Mike. And I don't know that Mike was there in terms of just the total trust, in the changes that had been made in the front office. So Mike is a much more hireable candidate, I feel like, for teams, just because of the fact that he fits more situations than maybe Bill does at this stage.
Charles Robinson joining us, Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer. This draft coming up, first round, looks like it's going to be so intriguing as we get into it.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Charles, and I say that because of the quarterback spot. Real clear, Chicago and Washington and New England need quarterbacks, and they're sitting 1, 2, 3. Maybe somebody does something, trades out. But J.J. McCarthy seems to be climbing draft boards. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, especially with the Giants and the Vikings with a couple of first-round picks, and Denver and the Raiders all needing quarterbacks. How high do these guys go? Are the first three picks all quarterbacks and who we think they are? And then what happens with McCarthy and Penix and Nix?
Well, it's definitely need-driven. I don't think there's any question about that, where, you know, you see some of these people talking about, you know, hey, maybe there's five quarterbacks in the first round. Maybe there's six quarterbacks in the first round. I do think a lot of it, though, is need-driven. I think McCarthy – the interesting thing about McCarthy, I wrote in late March when all of a sudden he surfaced as people were saying, like, hey, he's going to go number two to Washington, or they're really connecting him to Washington at two. I talked to a lot of people across the league. I said, you know, what am I seeing here? Is this real? What does this film look like? And I talked to executives, coaches who didn't have skin in the game were not, you know, angling, you know, to either draft a quarterback or, you know, were in this scenario where they needed a quarterback to go up in front of their pick to push another player down, anything like that. And I was surprised that a lot of them said that McCarthy's tape, there was enough of it that, you know, hey, this idea, he doesn't have enough tape. You know, that they just didn't believe it. They said, look, he's definitely shown enough, particularly situationally, that you can make projections off of it. They really liked his ability on, you know, third and critical situations. Like, he would make big plays on third down. And then he was a guy who would turn his back on defenses in college. And you don't see that with a number of these other guys. They're operating out of shotgun. Defense is always in front of them. McCarthy was under center at Michigan. He would turn around and, you know, whether it was handing off or play action or whatever, NFL, you know, when people are looking at that tape in the NFL, they're going, I see a lot of stuff that this guy does in college that we do in the NFL. So there's not this dramatic learning curve in terms of asking him to do NFL type of things. He's already doing them at Michigan, and he's doing exactly what he's being asked. And I think that's where the Brock Purdy comparisons came in, where part of what Shanahan loves about Brock Purdy is that a large part of his game is, here's my offense. Here's what I need you to do. Go out and do these things. And occasionally, you know, you can do some off-schedule things and make plays. But for the most part, I'm going to give you something and you're going to run it the way I want it. I think some people look at McCarthy as being that type and that there's value in that. But, you know, the skill set and the amount of film and maybe some of the intangibles, you know, Drake Mays, you look at him, you're like, wow, that's a big dude. That's a AFC North quarterback if I've ever seen one. That's a, you know, a guy who can play, even though, you know, he comes out of North Carolina, he's got the build where you're like, he's an all-weather quarterback who should be able to take some punishment, and he's athletic. As you said, Caleb, he's going one. You just take him off board. Jaden Daniels does a lot of things. You know, there's definitely Lamar Jackson comp, but the body's not, you know, anywhere near what Lamar Jackson is. You know, there's some questions about, he wasn't asked to throw over the middle of the field, or he just didn't do it a lot at LSU. So that's a little bit of a worry, especially now that we're talking about it with Jalen Hurts' game in Philadelphia. But it's, as you talk to people about all these quarterbacks, you say, look, it's kind of a pick your flavor. What do you want out of a quarterback? There's one of those guys in this group, depending on what you want. And then there's a lot of experience. Penix, Nix are, what, 24? These guys are all older, have had a ton of snaps, should be able to step in right away and start playing in the NFL in terms of their experience. But I do think that a lot of it is need related. Like, across the board, most people have said to me about Penix, like, look, with that chart, with his medical chart, now he's been healthy and he looked good as pro day and all these things, but still the chart's the chart. You're scared to death and you don't want to take that kind of a guy in the first round. So a lot of teams to me are just like X-ing him off or putting him on a sub board saying, okay, when the risk and the value kind of intersect, great, but that's not going to be in the first round for a Penix. Whereas like Nix, it's just the limitations in his game. More of a short to intermediate passer, has to fit a certain scheme. Again, a guy that I think at least some teams don't see as ever really being a first round pick, but because of need and what the scheme is, to potentially push him up. But as you said, it's going to be an exciting draft because beyond Caleb, we really don't know for sure what's going to happen with the quarterback stack and who's going to move and who might drop. I think it's interesting McCarthy wasn't invited, at least at this point, was not invited to the NFL draft, which at least to me tells us that the NFL is at least a little spooked about inviting that guy and having, you know, another Levis situation or, you know, the typical quarterback drop situation play out with him.
Charles, I got time for one more quick question. Just when it comes to the Browns quarterback situation, you've got Deshaun Watson. We heard from him yesterday. We're wondering about his health and how good a shape are they with Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley and, you know, even an injured Dorian Thompson-Robinson behind him. I got about a minute.
Okay. I think Jameis is a great backup. Okay. I do like him. I think as a backup, he's got a ton of starts. He does have tools. Remarkably good guy in the locker room. Man, everybody loves Jameis. Everywhere he goes, you talk to his teammates, he's like the most popular guy anybody's met in the locker room. So I think from a support standpoint, excellent support quarterback for them. As far as Deshaun's health, here's the thing with Deshaun. I don't think you're going to see him until training camp, and I would not freak out about that. I think it's all about being conservative, listening to the doctors, and going, look, what's really important here? He's throwing now, physically, I think, could he probably go out there, especially in full squad minis and just do the normal stuff? Yeah, I think he could. Do I think the doctors want him doing that? No. I think they're saying, let's just look. What's important is this guy's going to play in the regular season. He's going to be there doing every single thing you need in training camp. Just go ahead and play it safe. So I think really that's ultimately what you're going to see with him is he won't do anything for them nothing of consequence until really training camp. But I do think that's by design, and I do think that's leaning on, you know, just the doctors being like, hey, just be as conservative as possible with him because that's what's important. So I think they're going to be okay. I think they'll be completely full speed up and running by training camp, no problems. And I do like the addition of Jameis as a support role guy. I think he's really good in that quarterback room, and I think he handles that backup position actually pretty well.
Outstanding. Charles, thank you so much. We always appreciate your time. Always want to remind everybody, too, about the All Juice team. And you've got a chance, if you want to get those T-shirts, they can just check you out on Twitter, right? At Charles Robinson. Yeah, that'll work.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, no problem. Thank you, Charles. You get a chance to help out the Therese Paylor Scholarship Fund at Howard and Mizzou if you go out and get those T-shirts. Again, Charles Robinson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Man, so many different places. NFL Network, of course, the Rose Rotation. He'll be joining us at 1 o'clock. We just had Charles Robinson on, Yahoo Sports NFL writer, the All Juice team out. Just really a nice way to pay tribute to a guy that was a great writer, Therese Paylor, who passed away a few years ago. They've got the scholarship fund. I said to you in the beginning of it, you do want to check it out, especially if you are an Ohio college football fan. How's that sound? So go check that out, Yahoo Sports. There's a few Buckeyes on there, some Mid-American Conference players. Again, it's based on it's an all-star team based on not only the way they play, but all the other factors.
What they bring to the game.
Yeah, all the other factors that go along with being a football player in college. And it doesn't matter what level you're at either, too. So go check that out. It's at yahoosports.com. Charles Robinson, one of the best writers when it comes to covering the game today. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. You are at 216-474-0092. What do you think is particular about what Charles had to say about quarterbacks, Jeff?
I think it's a fascinating thing. And he said clearly it's about need. When teams draft quarterbacks for need in the first round, they sometimes set themselves up for huge mistakes.
I don't disagree with that.
And I wonder how this is going to play out. From everything you hear, Caleb Williams, no-brainer, is going to be good.
Okay.
Oklahoma, then USC. And he's going to go to the Bears. Then you have Washington. They're going to draft a quarterback. Is it going to be Jaden Daniels? Is it going to be Drake May? Is it going to be J.J. McCarthy? Which I don't think, but you know, you hear the other two guys. And then you have the Patriots, who you would think are going to draft a quarterback. But then you have the teams that, okay, do you really have a need, and do you want to gamble like crazy? And the New York Giants have Daniel Jones, and they're paying him like $40 million next year, and then they can get out of it. But you keep hearing they're going to go and get their quarterback maybe this year. And they might have the opportunity to do it, you know, where they're sitting. And then Minnesota brought in Sam Darnold after losing Kirk Cousins. You know, I think Sam Darnold is a guy who's just waiting for a chance. I don't think he's going to get it in Minnesota. They got another first-round pick from Houston. And then, so now they have two. So they have ammo to move up. I would assume Minnesota goes and drafts a quarterback. But, you know, are you convinced that McCarthy, if you trade up to get him, or that Penix or Bo Nix are going to be better than Sam Darnold? You know, remember, at one point, Sam Darnold was the third overall pick in the draft. And again, that's where you're drafting for need and you can make a big mistake. I wonder, Raiders? You going to make a move? You going to try and get a quarterback? Denver, you got rid of Russell Wilson. You're really going to go with Jarrett Stidham? So I think this first round is going to be fascinating from a quarterback standpoint, and to see how much somebody gives up, Andy, to trade up and get either one of the top three guys, if by chance Drake May slides, by chance, or if they're convinced that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the real deal. Because I think somebody's going to give up too much to move up to get him.
Huh. I was just kind of looking through quarterbacks that were number one overall. We'll talk a little bit later about that.
92.3 The Fan. Breaking news.
Breaking news on 92.3 The Fan, presented by BetQL. Bet smarter by downloading the BetQL app and use Ohio25 to get 25% off of your first month. From the NBA, Jontay Porter has been banned from the NBA for violating the league's gambling rules. The NFL has announced that the two-way player for NBA. The Toronto Raptors has been banned for the NBA. A league investigation found that Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes and betting on NBA games.
Banned for what?
For life.
Whoa!
Yeah.
It's what they have to do. They have to do that now with all the sports books across the country. Let's talk about that in a second. Woo. Chris Rose is going to join us next, too. So Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.